This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
All right, everybody, it's here. The March to Spring Training and Opening Day is officially upon us. Hey, I'm Rob Bradford from Baseball Isn't Boring, and we'll have you covered every single day with instant reactions to late-breaking signings, determining which players are, yes, truly in the best shape of their lives, and behind-the-scenes stories from all the excitement and intrigue that spring training brings. Follow Baseball Isn't Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Back with more of Sabres Live, presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
A lot of talk, Marty. A lot of talk. That's like, I get it. It's what the show is. But I feel like there's going to be even more of it over the next 2 weeks without games. It sounds weird. Maybe it's a different kind of talk, more speculative talk. Let's put it that way, right?
Yeah, it will be a lot of talk. And I mean, as we get to Wednesday and Thursday and next week where there's games at the Four Nations. We may touch on that a little bit more. I'll be watching, and I don't know if our audience is going to be watching. Some may take a two-week vacation. There's no football. Right. There's no hockey. It's like I'm going to, you know, watch Netflix and, you know, I'll binge watch some shows that I've missed on. But, you know, we'll talk about it. So a lot of talk coming up, absolutely, for the next 2 weeks.
So based on the Byram specifically that we talked about before, like, what do you think is the likelihood of just a straight up trade? Like not unlike what Byram came in last year, which was, you know, for Casey Mittelstadt, but yeah. I don't know. This is again, another obvious statement, and it would be typically true most seasons, based on, you know, 8 playoff spots available in each conference. But it does feel like there's a large group of teams in the same boat, and none of them are happy in the boat that they are in. So it doesn't mean fire sale. It doesn't mean rebuild. It may just mean like take St. Louis, for example. They're not going to plunge to the bottom here intentionally, but they're not happy with where they are, which is closer to 10 points out, you know, after making a coaching change already. And you documented all of this last week really well with, you know, the future of Armstrong and the incoming nature of Steen and all that. But like, so I guess what I'm getting at, and part of this is tweaked by the fact that Tampa hit the brake hot. They win 4 in a row. They look very much like they've been in the past. Vasilevsky looks really good. But kind of my go-to guy in all this is often Brandon Hagel, right? So Hagel's going to suit up for Team Canada. He had 8 points in his last 4 games before the break. He's going to have another career year. That'll be 3 straight, depending on your curriculum for career year, whether it's goals or points. But pick one. And so the point is exactly 3 years ago, almost, Hagel was traded before he was even broaching really, really, really good player status. He was a good player. Wasn't really, really, really good. He was traded to Tampa for a deal that included 2 prospects that haven't really panned out and 2 first-round picks.
Yes.
In the time since, in the 3 years, Brandon Hagel is top 50, and this is, he's better than 50. He's easily in the top 50 in points by any NHL player. He's also easily in the top 50 in goals. Think about that. There's 32 teams in the NHL. So he's basically in the top 1.5 players for each team if it was divided evenly. In what world would you not make that trade over and over? And we
acquiring a top one and a half, top two player on your team for a couple of prospects,
for two first rounders, which are so far down the road.
Who cares? Exactly.
Who cares?
Like you're acquiring a top two player.
Even if you do care to measure it 12 years from now, it doesn't matter because what you acquired was something that was impactful not only on your team, but within the entire scope of top scoring in the NHL. So this is all I'm saying is deals like this are there. And I'm fascinated by it because Hagel's going to be potentially a huge talking point in this tournament.
Yes.
Based on how hot he's been, but more importantly, the fact that he even made this team, right?
Hagel was coming from Chicago. Chicago were on their downswing, and then he goes to Tampa. It was a winning organization, and he takes off, right? He's with the Stamkos and the Kucherov and the Hedman and the Point and Sorelli and at the time Killorn and Palat and whatever. And it's like, whoop, like everything rises, right? And, you know, rising tide lifts all boats. Like he was on a team that was really good. Some would say that's the same thing happened to a lot of the Sabres players that were moved on. Sam Reinhart and Brendan Montour. And we all knew they were really good players. They ended up going somewhere else and they became elite on winning teams. The Sabres, if they were a winning team right now, I would say, oh, I'd love for them to take a chance on player X and player Y and player Z because I can see some really good things, but bring them in our environment and it will be different. The environment right now is not that. The environment is a little bit more complicated than saying you're coming on a winning team and all of a sudden we're going to help you get to your potential. But I do believe that there's trades out there that you can make. Like, I feel like last year's Byram trade for Casey Milstead was a good trade for the Sabres. And it could be a very, very good trade if we continue to see Bo Byram play the way that he's playing and if he becomes part long-term with the Sabres. Or if it's not long-term, then you maybe acquire something that will be an answer for long term. Like we have Jake here who says, you know what, Greenway will help, but if they do make a trade, do not include Byram. We need more of what he brings, not less, even if it's for Elias Pettersson. So
Elias is not being traded. Anybody who knew that type of player, right?
Like Jake is saying, I don't want to include Byram for that type of player because I feel like we need Byram more. There's other players you can trade to achieve that.
Right.
But my counter argument to this is, okay, well, where do the Sabres sit in goals against right now per game in the National 28? Where do they sit?
30th in save percentage.
Where do they sit in expected goals against? 25th. It's not like defensively they've been lighting it out. And last game, in the post game, I believe, Duffer, I told you against Nashville, I said, I like what I saw from the Sabres in that game. And from the last few games with their offensive identity, something that I feel like got lost. And maybe it's coming back a little bit, right? Dahlin, offensive identity. Thompson, offensive identity. Kulik, Peterka. Now, that line had a tough game against Nashville. Even Lindyrov said our top line had a tough game. I get that. Mm-hmm. But the offensive identity, so now I'm looking back at it as, okay, is this the way you got to build your team and get that offensive identity and get guys that are going to perform offensively regardless of if you give up 3 or 3.5 per game and you're 28 in goals against per game, you're going to score 4 game and you're going to win more games.
They're
like,
not,
is
though.
That where you,
you know
got to go?
Right? You're asking this, but you're not believing. The only reason you brought
get there, yes, exactly. I don't know that I can get there.
You brought up their goals against and where they rank is because you know that they have to be better defensively.
They have to be better defensively. And
it's that simple. I don't want to be that guy. I want to be what you just said. I want to score 4.5 a game and not care about my own end. But I felt the tone and the familiarity with which some of the players spoke after the game against Nashville. I was like, oh man, like this. This hasn't been tweaked the way they need it to be tweaked. You can't just win 4 in a row and then go right back to the same things that were a huge part of the 13-game losing streak.
Yeah, no.
right?
Giving up like that in those four games in a row, they won two games. They won by giving three goals or, three goals in a game, which had only happened three times in the previous 50 some games this year.
Right.
So they found a little offensive identity, but they didn't give up five or six.
Exactly.
They gave up three. They gave up two. They gave up three. Like, so, but goaltending is a part of that. Goaltending is a part of that. You mentioned save percentage. I'm telling you that expected goals against, you're pretty low as well, meaning you're still giving up a lot of chances.
So it's not goaltending then? Because that is more of a team stat, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think it's both. I think that you're giving up too much. And obviously, if your save percentage as a team is 30th, now there's empty net goals that factor in as a team save percentage, but it still has to be better than that.
So what do you do then? Because this is amazing how it can be so unscripted, but just the name Bo Byram has now been woven through this entire show. And when I said, I'm not sure I'm in a comfortable spot to be signing extensions or whatever, it's because you have to view it all together. And whatever we love about Bo, and again, this doesn't put any of it on him for the save percentage and the goals against average, but you have to consider all of it. Why are they not better as a team right now, right? So by signing another more offensive-minded defenseman, are you still going to be able to fix your shortcomings, right? So I don't know. I'm fascinated by this.
All right, well, I'll give you, if people want to know why we mentioned team save percentage and what does it matter, right? Mm-hmm. Because at the end of the day, do you win games or whatnot? Philadelphia is 32nd. Montreal is 31st. Buffalo is 30th. San Jose is 29th. Mm-hmm. Pittsburgh is 27th. Nashville is 26th. Columbus is 25th. They've been outscoring their problems to a certain extent.
Yes.
But the only two teams in the bottom 10 teams, the only two teams that really can make a point for outscoring their problems are Colorado and Columbus.
Right.
But Colorado, since Mackenzie Blackwood and Scott Wedgwood are there, the save percentage is very respectable. It was atrocious with Georgiev there earlier in the year. So in the bottom 10 teams, there's one team, Columbus, that you can say they're outscoring their goaltending deficiencies and to a certain extent.
Or their defensive. They've lost four in a row. Out of the wild card just by a blip and clearly hurting.
They're also dealing with injuries.
That's the problem, is Don Waddell wants to add a top six scorer right now because he knows that as much as he loves, and rightfully so, Kent Johnson and Adam Fantilli, like the loss of Monahan became more pronounced when Marchenko went down and the domino effect is going to be, and look, they stubbed their toe hard in that last game against the Rangers. They had two leads. They didn't hold it. And it stinks because one game changes how they feel for 2 weeks. Cause they would have been sitting here in a wild card, right, for the next 2 weeks while Four Nations is on, and people would, but now it's four losses in a row, and you're like, I don't know if Columbus is going to be able to steady things here based on the severity of their injuries. But I don't know. So with Byram, with the attention to, if you're going to put the attention on the defensive side of it right now.
Yep.
Well, do you think actually that's going to be where the attention is placed between now and March 7th?
No, and that's what as you were asking the questions, I say, okay, well, yeah, maybe Byram is a priority, but I don't feel like the main focus is going to be on the group of defense. I think there is a way.
If they make a big trade, is it not for someone in top four defense?
No.
No?
I think if they make a big trade, is for a top six forward. Because you have a hole, and right now you're playing with a 20-year-old Yuri Kulik as your first-line center, and you're playing right now with Ryan McLeod as your second-line center. McLeod is better suited as a, third-line center. You have a big hole at that position. I think if you make a big trade, is to add somebody to be able to play with maybe Zucker and Tuck, or maybe you say, hey, we're going to have Quinn and Tuck with that person and really have an offensive flair in your top six. I think it's more that. So our focus right now has been on, well, Byram and the defense and Dahlin and the goals against and all of that. But I'm going to say this maybe is going to contradict everything in the sense that if they make a big trade, it's going to help the group of forward. Because I think that's where the problem is. Last game against Nashville, everybody's talking about Alex Tuck turnover, Tage Thompson turnover, all of a sudden you give up two goals, right? That's where the big issue has been. Was there a problem earlier in the year in defending around your net and being tough around your net? Yes. I don't think that has been the case now. I think the case has been puck management, and puck management from the forwards has been the number one thing. That's where it is going to be addressed.
As we were discussing, I'm thinking, man, people are watching and listening thinking, well, obviously they're not going to be acquiring a top four defenseman if they trade Byram, right? But I wasn't looking at it from trading Byram. I was looking at it from trading one of their, you know,
UFAs. Higher,
no, like a forward. Oh. I mean, if they traded Dylan, for instance, right? What would be your goal to get back in return?
I think that one of the rumors of a month, maybe a month and a half, 2 months ago, was Dylan Cousins going to Vancouver for Elias Pettersson. And I'm thinking, if you're trading Dylan Cousins, you're acquiring a top six forward.
Yeah, but that was Cousins and Byram. It's a lot different than just trading Cousins without trading Byram.
Yeah, but it wouldn't have been Cousins and Byram straight off for Pettersson. It would have been maybe with something else.
But you would still
have
been taking parts off of both the forward and the defense. But take a quick break. We are, if nothing else, walking contradictions. Welcome to the brand new week on Sabres Live.